Guy James Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Life! Life, you hear me? Give my creation life!
So this was fun.
You're going to like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Good countdown.
Six, five, four, three, two, one.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast area.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
The world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Well now, good afternoon, everybody. Good to have you along with us here on the Guy James Show this afternoon on the Head On Radio Network. Yes, indeed, it is good to have you with us today. We're coming to you from the blue waters and sandy beaches of beautiful Southwest Florida. Fort Myers, Naples area. It is a gorgeous day. Currently about 81, 82 degrees outside and sunny and just absolutely gorgeous. And I know it's I hope it's nice where you're at as well. I know if you're in Denver or Western Kansas, it's not so nice. And I hope things shape up a little better out there. Amazing how the weather has been here lately. On the East Coast, clear up into Canada, it's been exceptionally warm. All my friends back in Ohio reporting, just tremendously warm temperatures for this time of year. In Washington, D.C., they said some of the bulbs are actually blooming. They're going to get a surprise probably later on in the month. But strange weather indeed. And folks out in one place in Iowa I was reading about, it, I think it was Fort Dodge, Iowa, had only had about 1/10 of an inch of snow so far this year, which is certainly some sort of a record since at least since 1884. So don't tell me global warming isn't happening, and don't give me an example of a blizzard in Denver as being evidence that it is not. Global warming is here. It's evident to anybody who believes anything about science. Of course, there's plenty of people that don't believe in science. They're idiots, of course. yes. You can give us a call, 866-546-5254, 866-546-5254, and while we're at it, rather than make somebody wait, let's go to the phones right now. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hello, Guy. This is Aldous Tyler. I'm with Nonstop Radio. I'm actually a new project trying to make sure that progressive talk stations stay on the air throughout the country.
Well, you've got your hands full.
Oh, yes. But you know what? We've actually had some pretty encouraging news. For example, I actually was with the people who kept the Madison, Wisconsin progressive, the Mike 92.1, on the air when Clear Channel wanted to take it off.
Hmm.
Plus, I also helped Phoenix with their effort earlier this year when theirs was booted off the air for about a month. So I know it can be done, and so basically I decided that we should just set up a national clearinghouse of information of stations that are either in jeopardy or have been flipped. That way the local grassroots efforts can get national attention and national assistance.
Well, we're doing just internet right now. We got the boot here locally some time ago. Said that our program did not meet the expectations of their conservative listeners. So this is a hardcore red area right here. And, they've got Limbaugh and Hannity and every right-winger that you can think of. with no liberal programming whatsoever, not 1 minute worth here in all of Southwest Florida.
Exactly, and that's the other thing that we want to do. Obviously, at the moment, I've actually detected at least 15 markets that either have flipped or are about to be flipped of terrestrial radio. But one of the things we want to do once we're done playing defensive, once we get this battle much more won, I want to actually look at expanding the format out greatly as being phase two of nonstop radio. But we have to start somewhere, and I think the first thing is to stop the hemorrhaging, and then we can see about growing.
Well, I sure agree. Liberal radio's had a tough road to hoe. I know Air America's suffering some lumps right now, and it's just I don't know what it is exactly. I've got a half a dozen theories on why liberal radio hasn't done very well in the country. I would like to think it's ideology, but I don't think it is. I think that station owners are looking at their bottom line. That's all that matters, and if they don't service 60 or 70% of the people, well, let's say 40% in this area here, 35 to 40% of the radio listeners are Democrats, and they're not being serviced whatsoever. But you know, that's how it goes.
Well, it's kind of interesting too, because I know that what is being said repeatedly throughout the country when they try to flip them is that, oh, there's not enough listenership, and thus the ad revenues are bad. Well, in the case of Madison, they tried to give us that line, and Madison's at least 70% liberal. We're extremely liberal up here.
Oh, yes.
And so, obviously, we knew that was just a load of hooey. So we went and we checked with the sponsors. We checked with everybody. We actually took a look at the Arbitron ratings, which we actually managed to get a hold of. We knew they were lying to us, and we were able to get about 5,400 signatures on our petition, plus we had a rally that overflowed its venue by several hundred people to attend. And basically between that and the advertisers and everything, we actually managed to get Clear Channel to break its contract to change the station to Fox Sports Radio within about 10 days of it actually doing so. So, it, like I said, I know these things can happen, and we want to keep expanding things. I mean, Guy, we got to get you back on terrestrial as well as internet.
Well, we'd sure like to do that. It's just where we're at here. I don't know. And of course, you know, technology being what it is, we don't have to be on here locally. We can be anywhere.
This is true, but I mean, the whole point being, I mean, the more stations that are out there carrying progressive talk, the more chances for you to get on there. So I was wondering if you wouldn't mind if I gave out the website address for my effort.
Sure, go right ahead.
Well, sure. It's at www.nonstopradio.com. And, again, it's just one of those things where I just – it's something I believe strongly in. I honestly think that there is actually more to it than just the commercial interests going on here. For one thing, of the 15 markets I was talking about, it appears that at least 10 or 11 of them, the decision to flip was made after the sweeping changes we made in the election of 2006. So, in other words, I'm not saying it's revenge, but I am saying that I think they took a look at the effect that progressive talk had on the election, especially where it is in the markets, and I think they decided they can't have that around for 2008.
Well, I hope you're right on that. I really do. They're, you know, all many of us need is a chance. If we had, you know, here we were limited to Saturday afternoons, Saturday mornings, off hours when they didn't want to offend their right-wingers. I sometimes do wonder, though, and I wonder if you've done any research on it, I sometimes wonder if we lefties actually listen to talk radio like the righties do. You know, there are many people who think that the people on the right, how shall I say this and be kind, that they need their ideas formed for them by a Limbaugh or a Hannity and so forth, and the people on the left being somewhat, I'll say this delicately, more well-versed, don't need somebody to form their views for them, and therefore the listenership might not be there. What do you think?
Well, Guy, I can tell you, for one thing, the reason I listen to your show, for example, is because it's not that I'm looking for an opinion that matches mine or an opinion that I can adopt as my own, which may be very well what some people listen to right-wing talk radio for. I'm looking for the information behind the opinion, and I'm listening to hear what your the opinion you formed out of that information, so I can understand that viewpoint. If I agree or not, that's another matter. But I want the information, and then I want to hear some well-reasoned process beyond just the information. Anyone can spout off information. That's what Associated Press is there for, you know. But it takes a mind to actually take it and do something with it, and that's what us left-wing people can appreciate out of talk radio.
Well, I think you're right, and one of the inherent problems in radio on the left is, well, if you're on the right, all you have to do is day after day say, let's cut taxes, no abortion, and you know, let's go to war. Now, you can pretty much stay with these three subjects all day long with Democrats. Well, you know, it's like they've always said, trying to herd a bunch of cats. We've got 100 issues we'd like to talk about and do with our big tent, and therefore we're splintered, and maybe we don't get honed in as much on a lot of issues as people would like. I don't know.
Well, we're never boring.
No, that's right.
The one thing I can say for sure, though, is that's why it's good to have some of us decide to dedicate ourselves to certain aspects of our various causes. For example, you know, you for example, are a broadcaster, and in this case a netcaster at the moment. We're going to get you back on the air. But, like I say, you're a broadcaster, so you focus on making sure that you gather info in a relevant way and present it in a way that is entertaining and thoughtful. Well, me, I'm an activist for radio in general, so I'm focused on freedom of speech and various issues in that respect. People who are GLBT activists are focused there. You know, it goes from there. So the fact is that while the left can encompass so much, so long as we have people who are dedicated enough to focus on particular issues, they won't be neglected, per se. We just need to make sure that we respect the experts in the various fields.
I agree. You know, I've been to Washington more times than I care to count, talking to Democrats and, you know, mostly elected officials, elected Democrats, trying to get them to help in these endeavors. And they're not all that interested. Evidently, they haven't figured out yet that they get their brains beat out on the radio. I've never understood their thinking on that. But sure would help if we could get some of these people to help out a little bit.
Well, I think they may be starting to learn. Now, mind you, I mean, I don't want to bring up names of competitive shows or per se, but some of the shows are starting to get some really noticeable ratings out there, and especially in some pretty key markets. You know, so I think that's going to get noticed more and more as it goes.
Well, I hope so. I do hope so.
In any case, Guy, thank you very much for having me on there, sir.
Yeah, nonstopradio.com.
That's the site. And right now what we're doing is, like I said, we've identified markets, and anytime we identify a market that's either in jeopardy or has flipped, we will add it to a list at the bottom of the page in just standard type as being a market in trouble. And then if we can find a grassroots organization that is handling that market, we will then go ahead and put a link through to that organization's efforts. So we have three that actually we have the grassroots for. We have Columbus, Boston, and Cleveland right now. Not Cleveland, pardon me. Columbus, Boston, and Dallas, I apologize, that are currently linked directly from our site to their petitions and their Yahoo groups and such to make sure that things go as they can. And then for the rest, we've got a list on the page. Basically, if anybody who's listening to the show right now finds their city and station down there, give us an email. And we will definitely want to set up some sort of grassroots effort to get that station back on the air.
Very good. Hey, thanks very much. Good to hear from you.
You're welcome, Guy. Have a good day.
Call anytime.
Absolutely, sir.
Bye now. Ah, yes. We do need to do something about keeping people on the air and getting more people on the air. A lot of it's very political. A lot of it's tremendously political. And, well, you know. You know my opinions on that. So we're going to go to Washington and talk about it again toward the end of this month. See if we can't get some help from some of our elected Democrats there. That would be a good thing. Hey, how are you today? We didn't get a chance to talk. Are you all worn out with all the funeral stuff that's been on? Do you think they've overdone it? You think it's not enough? I don't know. Been enough for me. It was interesting watching all this stuff. It really was. Do want to thank Billy Shears, our music director here on the Guy James Show. He's got some tunes ready for you today. And what else do we... Oh, I see where Michelle Malkin is heading to Iraq. Now, won't that be interesting? What the hell has Michelle Malkin gone to Iraq for? Can you tell me? Any idea why Michelle Malkin would go to Iraq? Is she going to go there like Oliver North goes and send us back these peachy keen reports that everything is fine and all the soldiers just love it? You bet that's what she's going to do. Fascinates me that these people can really get away with this. They just keep doing it, though. They just keep doing it. Lots of interesting things going on today. I see our good friend Pat Robertson is back at it with his predictions again. He did so well with that tsunami hitting the United States one last year that he decided to try it again and said there'll be mass killings this year. I wonder if he knew Gene Dixon. Anybody my age remember Gene Dixon that gave all these wild predictions every year, like the, you know, the sun was going to rise 365 times and it would be nightfall 360. You know, that was the kind of thing she did. She'd throw a few in there that is. But Robertson's at it again, and he said he wasn't completely wrong with his prediction of a tsunami hitting the United States yesterday. He said the flood somewhere over in Pennsylvania or up in Connecticut, I don't know, somewhere over east. He said that was kind of a tsunami, but God's talked to him, and God told him that there's going to be mass killings this year. Now, I think one could predict that every year, and sooner or later you're going to hit it right on the nose, wouldn't you say? We're going to get hit again. Definitely we're going to get hit again. And as I was watching, going down through here, I made a little list of things today. Junior went to the casket, what was it, day before yesterday? Showed up at the Capitol building. They said he stood by the casket for 7 seconds. He had the rotunda cleared. All the other dignitaries showed up and went in with the crowds being there. But Bush, now he had to have the rotunda completely cleared. And then he walked in and spent 7 whole seconds with the casket there of Mr. Ford. You know, it's not about him. It's not about him, and he doesn't really give a damn. It's something he had to do, and he did it. I'm surprised he didn't show up wearing his jammies, you know. And let's go back to the phones. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Say, good afternoon, Guy. Bill from Toledo.
Hi, Bill.
Say, listen, I wish you a Happy New Year there.
Same to you, sir. Up there in the frozen north, it isn't frozen.
I just thought maybe I'd give you a quick call before I go out to cut the lawn.
Are any of your flowers blooming yet?
Oh, if they're not, it'll soon to be. It's just unbelievable warm. I've never seen a December like we had here.
No kidding.
Not that first snowflake.
I talked to a friend of mine that lives up in northeast Ohio that had been playing golf almost every day.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I can believe that. This has got to be golfers just got to love this. Anybody got new clubs for Christmas? They're out on the golf course.
Oh, sure.
Hey, I got some pearls for you.
Pearls?
Oh, yeah. Listen,
Pearls of Wisdom?
Here's a prediction for the year. I got a movie for you to see. It's probably the best movie you're going to see this year.
Oh.
And it's called All the King's Men. Have you heard about it?
No.
It's about Huey P. Long.
Oh.
It's a political movie. It stars Sean Penn. And what a movie.
One of the most interesting men to ever be in the political arena in the United States, no question.
Oh, he just plays the part just unbelievable. Nothing but Class A actors all the way through it.
Well, Penn's doggone good. Did they pack some weight on him for the thing? Or?
No, huh? Because, you know, Huey was a little bit on the heavy side.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, the nice thing about it is in the special features, they just got all kinds of old clips from Huey Long and that. And one thing I didn't know is he's the one who got the pension for the railroaders.
Oh.
That, you know, and I worked for the railroad, and I said, well, God, there's my man right there. But it's one of the most, it's probably the best movie I've seen in 5 years.
Well, I'll have to check it out. I seldom see a good movie, and I seldom go to the movies.
Uh-huh. Well, this is out on DVD now.
Oh, is it? Oh, well, I got it written down here. I will definitely see that. I'm very interested in Huey Long. Not only was he one of the most interesting politicians, definitely one of the most powerful that this nation ever had.
Oh, he was. The movie is just fascinating. And, you know, then they go on, like I told you, in the special features, they have all kinds of his speeches on there that he gave and that, and different historians talking about him and that. The special features run for at least 45 minutes.
Oh, wow. I would enjoy that. My last time in Baton Rouge, well, I've told everybody the story that I'm a colonel of the state of Louisiana. And
yeah, I heard that.
And down there at the Capitol building, you know, you walk in there, there's a big old statue of Huey Long standing there, and you think back on the history.
He's facing the Capitol.
Hmm?
He's facing the Capitol.
Yep.
And not facing away from it. Like it said in the movie, or in the special features there, he doesn't stand a welcome you to the Capitol. He's facing the Capitol, and they said that so he could keep his eyes on things.
I don't doubt that a bit.
I watched it twice in a row.
Well, that's I probably would, too. I just very interested in Huey Long. Well, the political climate in Louisiana lasted a long time after he was through it. I mean, he was one of those good old boys that it was his way or the highway.
The Kingfish.
Yeah, and this Governor Edward Edwards, who's in prison right now, maybe he might be out by now, though. He tried to carry on in Huey's tradition, and he didn't quite get away with it.
He just wasn't up to snuff with
it. No.
Oh, this got that. Any of your listeners, if they're listening, well, I know you got a lot of people listening. I mean, they got Anthony Hopkins in it, and then that the guy that plays in, well, I forget that, a mob series that's on HBO. He plays in, a guy plays Anthony in there. It's just all the actors are just fascinating.
Well, you've given a good list there so far.
Oh, yeah, but, I mean, you'll talk about it after you watch it because you just can't help but do it. But that guy was really, you know, like I said, I watched those special features. Boy, was he a speaker. And I mean, could
oh, yeah.
The crowd going?
Oh, yeah. Huey, he had it, man. He had it all as a politician.
What did you think about that tirade that Keith Olbermann went on last night?
Well, it was pretty good, as usual.
It was good, wasn't it?
Keith is very good. I admire him. He's very eloquent in his speech. He's very thoughtful. He gets his point across without being too flowery about it, and I admire that.
Well, I'll tell you what. The one guy that can hold a candle to Keith Olbermann is you, because once you get on one of your tirades, you're pretty tough to beat, buddy.
Well,
you're pretty tough to beat.
I'm blushing.
Listen, I'm going to let you go, guy, but I just thought I'd call you and. Enjoy the movie. Pick it up tonight.
I sure will.
It is going to you're really going to love it.
Thanks, Bill.
Okay, listen, now. You take care now, guy.
Bye now. All the King's Men. Yeah, I'll have to I'm not a big movie guy. I enjoy a great movie. I really do. I love to see good movies, but there're just so doggone few of them that are any good anymore. And you know, if it's about Huey Long, I'm going to like it. It's just something I seldom get to do is look at a movie, but I'm gonna get that one, take a look at it. I remember when it came out, I kind of had that bookmarked to be sure and take a look at that. Where are we here? I don't know where we're at here. I think we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country that bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at headonradionetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
Headonradionetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Mother, Mother Ocean.
Hi, I'm Jimmy Buffett. West Indian manatees are one of the most unique animals on Earth, and we're still finding out so many new things about them. But manatees are endangered, and many of them are killed or injured each year because of watercraft collisions or other human activities. You can help save these gentle marine mammals. For free tips on what you can do, call Save the Manatee Club at 1-800-432-JOIN. Thank you.
This is Granny B, and I was just thinking about hope and optimism. Oh, I know that Saddam was just hanged, and our 3,000th troop was just killed in Iraq. And the president is talking about a surge of increased troops there after talking about going long and going big. You have to wonder if there isn't something sexual going on there. But I'm not going to dwell on all that today. Today I'm thinking about the good things that could happen, like peace on earth and people treating each other with goodwill. What if we started treating every human being, not just the rich ones, as though they deserve a good education and good medical care? What if we did what we could to make sure everybody who wants to work could have a job that pays a decent amount of money? Thank goodness every now and then, like every New Year's Day, we get to be a bit optimistic. We get to hope that the human race will take a turn for the better, and we will start working together instead of fighting and torturing and killing each other whenever possible. Call me crazy, but I believe we need to think about the possibilities for good, at least from time to time. Some people seem to think that they have to worry about the bad all the time, as if it's like magic that expecting the worst will keep the worst from happening. Or, if they never hope, they'll never be disappointed. But other folks believe that if you have negative thoughts, negative things come your way. And positive thoughts bring good things to our lives. Besides, how can we ever make the world a better place if we never allow ourselves to imagine how it could be better? This is Granny B, and I was just wondering.
Guy James back with you here on this Wednesday afternoon, kind of a lazy Wednesday afternoon. What is it about Wednesdays? Listenership is usually down a little bit on Wednesday. Why is that? Does anybody know? Hump day? For a lot of people, it isn't for me, but it is for a lot of people. I don't get it. Maybe you'll let me know, huh? 888-866-546-5254. How could I do that? How could I forget the phone number here? 866-546-5254. I do hope you'll give us a call. Say, I want to get something out of the way while I'm thinking about it. I received day before yesterday, a very, very, very ugly email from a man named Carl. And I want to read it to you, and I want to comment on it. I'll read the email. It said, Guy James, you are a disgrace to America and to mankind in general. You would have fit very nicely into Adolf Hitler's Third Reich. I listened to one of your archive programs where you happened to be spouting off about the Israelis' defensive actions against Hezbollah after they blatantly and illegally kidnapped an Israeli soldier. Everything you said was anti-Israel. You are the worst anti-Semitic person I have ever heard. It is obvious that you hate Jews. You never said anything positive about Israel. And it's obvious to everyone in the world that the Palestinians, Hezbollah, Hamas, and all of the Arab world hates Jews, and you're just as bad as all of them. I'm surprised you're allowed to say the things you do. I think I'll get in touch with the Mossad, and I'm sure they'll want to deal with you. Carl. I like that Mossad part. Well, Carl, let's get something straight here. One of my very best friends is a Jew. Some of my closest pals when I was a teenager was Jew. I respect and admire the Jewish culture. I abhor the Holocaust, probably the most awful tragedy in the history of the world. No one who knows me could possibly make the case that I'm anti-Semitic. It would absolutely be absurd to make that claim against me. And I'm surprised you, that somebody doesn't know me, would say that. Then again, maybe I'm not. However, and you knew the however was coming, I do not support the actions of the Israeli government. Clearly, they're not running the world's largest outdoor, they are running the world's largest outdoor prison. What they're doing to the Palestinians is beyond the pale for any civilized society. Their actions toward the Palestinian people is akin to the genocide Hitler tried to accomplish against the Jewish people, and it might even be worse. Not in numbers, but in the hatefulness of it. And all the number of Palestinians killed by the Israelis doesn't compare to the number of Jews Hitler had killed. It's just as troubling, because we're living in a more enlightened age, where such crimes are clearly against what most people would consider decent and proper treatment of human beings. Now, don't bother to tell me all the stories of Israelis being attacked by Palestinians. I know all about that. It's wrong. And I don't for a moment condone those attacks. However, one, you got to consider the reasoning behind the ill will of the Palestinians toward the Israelis. And like I said, it is the world's biggest outdoor prison. Hamas and Hezbollah didn't materialize because of some irrational hatred of the Jews. Those organizations were formed because of the need for protection from the Israeli oppressive and brutal tactics toward them. Israel's recent war against Lebanon is but one example. Their reaction over the kidnapping of one of their soldiers was clearly over the top, and the brutality of the whole thing was absolutely appalling. The hardliners in Israel were the driving force behind the atrocities committed by the Israeli armed forces. And the whole world stood by and watched, including our government, seemingly helpless to do anything about it. Why? Because they didn't want to be accused of being anti-Semitic. When what the Israeli government does and what and the Jewish religion are completely two different things. They're completely separate. Completely separate. Anybody who spoke up against the Israeli actions was immediately labeled anti-Semitic. What a crock. You use that time and time and time again. You use that on people. And you intimidate people with it. If you say anything about Israeli's actions, you're anti-Semitic. That's simply bullshit. Religion has nothing whatsoever to do with it. Nothing. It's about the decent treatment of your fellow human beings. And the militant Zionists in Israel are a dangerous group. And our government's sanctioning of their human rights violation is terribly wrong in every respect. Many times, the Israelis should have been sanctioned for human rights violations in the United Nations. And every single time it came to a vote by the Security Council, it was vetoed by the United States government. Every single administration in power since Israel was formed in 1948 has protected Israel against being sanctioned by the UN when those sanctions should have been imposed. All one has to do in this country is say anything about Israeli crimes against their neighbors, and one is automatically attacked as being anti-Semitic. It's how they operate. The influence of Israel in this country is enormous. It's over the top. AIPAC is a hugely powerful group that holds sway over the United States Congress and doesn't hesitate to twist the arms of the politicians they support with huge campaign donations. But most of all, they drag our Congress around by the nose because of outright fear. Our Congress critters are afraid of being smeared as being anti-Semitic. The intimidation factor is enormous. personally, I'm not going to fall for it. I don't owe them a damn thing. And I'll tell you this. My Jewish friends, except for one of them, completely agree with me. They think Israel is guilty of crimes against the Palestinians too. So call me anything you want. Right is right and wrong is wrong, and it doesn't matter if the perpetrators are black, white, Christian, Jewish, Buddhist, or Muslim. I'm tired of this malarkey coming from Israel and AIPAC. And Americans too who claim we have to protect Israel. Protect Israel from whom? They could conquer every single nation in the Middle East in a few days. They've got more nukes per capita than any nation on earth. They don't need protection by us. That's bullshit. Let's stop this silliness and face the fact. Israel's treatment of the Palestinians is criminal. I don't care how you cut it, and that problem needs to be addressed. And you can call me anything you want to and send all the damn emails you want to, but that's how it is, brother. I am not anti-Semitic. And I am not pro-Palestinian. I'm for decency. And I'll be damned if you're going to sit there and intimidate me and tell me that I don't have the right to say that Israel isn't... Well, what they do to the Palestinians is just horrible. It's horrible. You would not believe the influence of AIPAC in this country. You ask anybody in Washington who the most powerful lobby in Washington is, it's AIPAC. So, Carl, you take your emails and you stick it from now on. I don't care. Don't you call me anything you want to. If it makes you feel good to call me anti-Semitic, you go right ahead, but it's a crock. Just a crock. And I resent it. Now, let's go to the phones. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, this is Juanita.
Hi, Juanita.
What a tirade.
Well, I get, you know, I get this email and the guy, I mean, I love my Jewish friends.
I know.
And I respect their religion. It's got nothing to do with Israel.
I wonder what he would think, the gentleman that wrote you or whatever he is, what he would think about the peace-loving Jews that are not in power now.
Yeah.
You know, they've got the similar group in power over there that we have over here now.
They sure do.
And, you know, I'm very much for the Israel myself, but you don't condone right. It's like your child. You're for your child, but you don't condone them doing something wrong. You don't not correct them. It says, God says, whom the Lord loves, he chastens.
Well, you know, per capita, they're more heavily armed than we are. They don't need us to protect them. They don't need our money. They don't need anything from us. But
and you know, some of the Jewish commentators on the radio, they'll say the same thing, and they get called anti-Semitic. Then they're Jewish.
Yeah.
You know, and look how they killed the one guy that tried to have peace over there. What was his name? During Clinton's administration.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they killed him because he was working on having a peace over there.
Yeah, they don't want anything to do with being
peace. That's what
you've
got.
They want to run roughshod over their neighbors, take every bit of the land they could get. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's what they've done. That's what they'll continue to do. And Big Brother Uncle Sam will help them do it.
And, anyway, I would like to say something about Pat Robertson.
Yes.
And his prediction. I don't know if you remember, but I think I've told you I was a member of 700 Club for quite a while, and I look back and I don't know what got a hold of me, except that I was at a stage of my life where I'd lost my folks, and it was just me and my son, and I was working 2 and 3 jobs, and this is my solace, you know, to watch him. And I thought that they knew better than me, and I was trying to do what they said was right. I wasn't sure of my own standing, you know. I didn't know. But I don't know if they do a brainwashing or do some kind of subliminal stuff, but I have other friends who feel the same way. But I don't know what caused me to change. I just woke up one day and I thought, well, now I don't go, you know, I try to be a conservative like he was in my voting and all. I tried to be a conservative, but my heart was not in it.
Well,
and I said, well, I'm a liberal, and God, you know, if I'm wrong, then I don't want to be a hypocrite, but I'm a liberal, and you know what I am. And I've, you know, got such a peace of mind after that and just became myself. And so I think there's a lot of people who are in my shoes even now.
I agree you that know. There are. I know somebody that's having a terrible time right now. She's born and bred Southern Baptist.
Yeah.
And she, you know, she doesn't want to forsake any of that. And yet she goes to church on Sunday, and they rail against the Democrats, and, you know, it's terrible.
Yeah. Well, like I said, yesterday they have people like Oliver North claim they're great Christians and all, and it just, I just got to work. I just could not take it. So, you know, I found out, be true to your own self. And you know, I got, and another thing, they sold that station that the people has sent in money for, including me, and they sold it. He sold it to Rupert Murdoch, and I know people today that don't even know it.
Hello, Pat's doing
that.
Pat's doing all right for himself, though, isn't he?
And it was a couple of $1 billion.
Yeah, he's.
And his stipulation was that he stay on there. And you know, I don't like to talk about it, but you know, I just want to read a couple of verses in the Bible concerning false prophets. And you know, he's predicted a lot of other stuff that didn't come to pass. You know. We were going to have a tsunami here in Florida, remember?
Yeah.
We were going to have an earthquake because of the gays up in Disney World.
Yeah.
And yet that very year, we had a hurricane that went right up to Virginia.
Yeah, that's right.
It passed us by and went right up to Virginia. And, you know, this is from Deuteronomy. It's just two verses. It says the prophet, well, my computer, the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if I say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing falleth not nor comes to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken, but the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him.
Yeah, well, you've just identified about a dozen of them that I can think of.
But you look back at his predictions and all, and they all backfired because he lives in Virginia.
Yeah, he does.
So, you know, you have to be careful what you do in the name of God.
Be careful what you ask for. Hey, Juanita, thanks for your call.
Okay.
Good to hear from you.
Bye-bye.
Let's go over here to line one. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, a guy?
Yes.
I've never spoken with you, but I'm calling from Washington State.
Oh, good.
And, you know, you have a great show.
Well, thank you.
And I just wanted to agree with you what you said in response to the email about being anti-Semitic.
Yes.
I could relate to that, too. But the thing that bothered me was yesterday I read that Pat Robertson made some predictions again,
mm-hmm.
and he said that Ariel Sharon was made sick because he went against, or he was being made sick because something, whatever he did, that I can't remember what it was.
Yeah, I remember him claiming that, and I can't remember exactly what it was. He said that because what the reason was for sure. But
well, that Ariel Sharon was being made sick by God. But got his stroke or whatever it was,
yeah.
That he was being made sick by God. I mean, this is idiocy.
Yeah.
But also, the whole idea of anti-Semitism, it is so complex because I have so many friends, and my mother grew up in an Italian-Jewish environment in Minneapolis, and she was almost like mothered by Jews and mothered by Italians and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we have relatives who are married to Jews and doctors and stuff like that. And the funny thing is most Jews are so humanistic and they are so progressive. And this whole thing going on in Israel is such a dichotomy of what the Jews really stand for, because they are so, basically, they are such wonderful, great, great progressives. And what's happening in Israel is, it's terrible. I went to Rachel Corrie's funeral here in Olympia, because that's where I live,
mm-hmm.
and I'm a progressive here. And it was sad, because Rachel Corrie, of course, was the girl who was bulldozed
Yeah.
Either accidentally or on purpose, which I my heart tends to believe it was an accident, but why did they even keep going? They should have pulled back.
That's right.
But nonetheless, I mean, that whole thing was covered up. And then this whole thing with the way that they've made that an apartheid government, and I applaud President Carter for writing apartheid on his new book about Israel. I mean, that took guts because he kind of has folded in some things that I didn't agree with him about. But, I mean, to stand together before the war when other people were standing against going into Iraq, you know?
Sure.
The presidents, remember?
Yes.
That photo op, I didn't agree with him on that. But with the thing about Israel, he's taken a lot of heat for that. And you're taking a lot of heat from this email, which I was really impressed with how you stood up for yourself.
Well, I can't take that. I can't.
Oh, no.
You know, if you knew in your heart that you were, you know, anti-Semitic, you were prejudiced against Jews, why, that'd be one thing. But
yes.
to feel the way I do about Judaism and the people, that's just, it just makes my blood boil.
Yeah, and, you know, we have so many books. My husband loves to read about the Middle Ages, and we have so many books about the Jews, what they went through, especially in the Middle Ages, and how they were forced out of the guilds so they couldn't even work in hands-on work. They ended up having to get into the business of money lending and dealing with money because they were forced out of what was considered, you know, manual labor.
Mm-hmm.
And that created that rift there. And then that created that sense that, well, they're not like us. And, of course, it goes way back. But
it does.
You know, it's such an ugly thing. And for somebody to say that you're anti-Semitic, they haven't listened to you long enough.
I guess so, yeah.
And you never have said anything that I've heard.
No.
But, hey, thanks for being there.
Well, thank you for calling. I appreciate it very much.
And I enjoy your show very, very much.
Thank you. And call us again.
Okay, bye.
Bye now. You know, we speak what's in our heart here on this program. I'm not influenced by, frankly, I'm not influenced by what anybody says. I'm not beholden to anybody. I love to have all of our listeners, but I'm not beholden to the listeners in what I say either. And I hope it comes across. This microphone isn't worth anything if I'm going to speak in it things that don't come from my heart and my brain and my honest thoughts. And my integrity is on the line when I speak to you. And to sit here and spout off something that wasn't true, something that I didn't believe in my heart and soul, I couldn't do it. I couldn't. You would know it. You would know it. I'd be a terrible liar. Terrible liar. So my you know, when you're a kid, your mother identifies that pretty early on when you're telling a little fib of some kind. You know, give you a second look, and you go, "Ooh, well, I learned that a long time ago." And my father, don't even try it. Don't even try it. They're both gone. But those, I remember those days getting caught on things when I was a kid. 866-546-5254, 866-546-5254. I was watching the ceremony yesterday in the National Cathedral, which is the most beautiful building in America. I don't know if you've ever been to the National Cathedral, but if you get to Washington, that's amongst the top four things that you have to see. You have to see the National Cathedral. It's just breathtaking. I remember when I went there, the first time I went there was with my mother and father, and they were still building it. No, it wasn't in 1872. I don't remember what year it was started. I wanted to say in the 1920s sometime. But they were still building it, and I went there again on my high school class trip. Yes, we did take class trips back then, all 18 of us. And we went to Washington, D.C., and, you know, we went to the National Cathedral, and it was still heavily under construction. There were big stones everywhere being cut, and I mean the stone, you know, stone cutters were still there, and they were still building it. And they had services at that time in the basement. And what you see upstairs there in the National Cathedral is in fact breathtaking. It's awe-inspiring, especially when you get a chance to go through the whole church, the whole cathedral. But a lot of people don't know, the National Cathedral has a basement under it that has a worship room in there that's, spectacular. I mean, it's nothing like what's up above, but you're surprised. And it's the same way over at the Shrine of the Immaculate Conception in Washington, D.C., the National Catholic Shrine. They met in the basement there for a few years while that structure was being built. It was built much faster, much faster than the National Cathedral. But they met there and in the basement before it was finished, and it had a beautiful domed elaborate sanctuary down in the basement of that. I love cathedrals and big churches. I always have. I don't know what it is. It's been my life's dream, and I've never got to do it, to go to the Île-de-France area. But it's Île-de-France is an area kind of like a 50-mile circle around Paris where some of the great cathedrals are, Chartres and Amiens. And I would really like to go and do that. That'd be totally cool. Isa Elo says she was at the National Cathedral in 1969 with her sixth-grade class. Well, I guess we know exactly how old she is then, right? Considerably younger than me. Ah, yes. Let's see. My sixth-grade class, I would have been, sixth grade. How old are you in the sixth grade? I was 16 when I graduated. I don't know. I'll have to sit down and figure that out. I can't do that and talk at the same time. How did I get off on this tangent? I was thinking as I watched the ceremony in the National Cathedral yesterday, you could see that clearly when the cameras showed the people that were there, there was a pecking order there, without question. The ex-presidents, and, of course, the family in the front row, but the ex-presidents up there close, and James Baker and Cheney and, who else? Secretary of State Kissinger, just a whole bunch of them. Anybody who was anybody in Washington, and the congressman. I saw Boehner from Ohio sitting there, and quite a big list of people. And I was wondering, that thing is about just about 2 football fields long. I think it's 580 feet. The people that sit in the back row there yesterday, now that was by invitation only. What did the people in the back row think? I just wondered. I wonder about things like that. You get invited to you get an invitation. It's the, a great honor to be invited to something like that. I would consider it a great honor to be, it depend who invited me. But, if you, got there and you were all enthralled with having this invitation to this and you found that you were sitting in the very last row, knowing then that you were the last one that was invited, you were the last one that these people were thinking of when they invited people. Oh, yeah, and you would know then it came down to the point, well, yeah, okay, let them come. it'd be kind of a humiliating thing, I think, to be sitting in the back row. I'm crazy. Corey Stone writes, he says, I should go see the Île-de-France. I used to love visiting cathedrals when I was traveling in Europe. During military service. That's how a lot of people got to see them. Yeah, and I haven't been that lucky. You still got time to call for the top of the hour, 866-546-5254, 866-546-5254. I see Bushy Boy is saying that he's going to knock our socks off with this speech coming up 23rd of January. I'm going to be there, by the way. I think I'll take a magazine or a big newspaper, Washington Post newspaper, with me to the State of the Union address. So if you look up in the gallery and you see somebody sitting up there reading the note, the Post or Sports Illustrated or something, while Junior's giving his speech, you'll know who it is. I don't know if they'll let you take something like that in. I remember I took my notebook in the last time I was there. We shall see. But Bushy says he's going to knock our socks off at the State of the Union with the energy dependence pledge. The Financial Times yesterday reported that energy is going to be the central theme of George's State of the Union speech. Well, I'll be damned. the energy. We got a war going on, George. We do. We got a war going on. We're broke. We've got all of our jobs heading overseas, George. I don't know if you noticed. We do have an immigration problem. We've got a lot of problems, George, and you're going to talk about energy right now. And I'm not saying that's not important, because it is. But, George. Georgie. It must not be that important. Because in your 2001 State of the Union speech, you said we can produce more energy at home while protecting our environment, and we must, blah, 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 blah. In 2002, he said good jobs also depend on reliable and affordable energy. This Congress must act to encourage conservation, promote technology, build infrastructure, and it must act to increase energy production at home so America is less dependent on foreign oil. That's 2002. 2003, our third goal is to promote energy independence for our country while dramatically improving the environment. Even more, I ask you to take a crucial step and protect our environment in ways that generations before us could not have imagined. Oh, 2005. To keep our economy growing, we also need reliable supplies of affordable, environmentally responsible energy. I urge Congress to pass legislation that makes America more secure and less dependent on foreign energy. 2006. Keeping America competitive requires affordable energy. And here we have a serious problem. America is addicted to oil, which is often imported from unstable parts of the world. The best way to break this addiction is through technology. Well, George. Since he's been president, our oil dependency on foreigners has gone from 52% to 70%. From 58% to 70%. Now, I tell you, there's something wrong there. Now, every year he gives us energy, and he's going to knock our socks off with the energy speech here this year. Hey, boys, look over there. Don't look at that war. I'm talking about energy here. I'm talking about energy. This is the guy that, I don't know. I don't want to go into it, but it's a lengthy subject. But you read these things and you go, oh, my God. The man's going to, you know, it doesn't matter what he talks to us about in the State of the Union now, does it? Doesn't matter. Because you know it's either lies or bullshit. Or both. You know that. The guy couldn't tell the truth if his life depended on it. Couldn't do it. He's lied his ass off at every one of these State of the Union. And yes, I know, all presidents do a lot of blah de blah 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 at State of the Union speeches. But usually there's something in them that they follow up on. Junior hadn't followed up on anything. He's going to get that Osama bin Laden guy, dead or alive. Yes, sir. Going to get him dead or alive. He's going to do this and he's going to do that. George hasn't done anything, let's face it, in his entire administration, in any category you can name. Anything you can name, he's been a failure. If you're a right-winger and you're listening, and I know some of you are, and you know of a positive thing that George Bush, something important, something notable, that George Bush has done for the people of the United States of America, and I don't mean any filthy, large, huge tax cuts for the rich either. If you can tell me something he's done for the greater good of the people of the United States, please call me. Please call me and tell me. I used to say two things. One, call and tell me one meaningful thing Georgie Bush has done for the general well-being of this country. One thing. One. Not asking for 6-5-4-3-2. One thing. Is that so hard? Couldn't any president give us one thing he's done in, 6 years? Hey, we're going to pause for the news. Don't go anyplace. You're listening to the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network, and we'll be back right after the news, and we're going to get tough then, okay?
This is the Quality News Network. In Baghdad, NBC News is reporting that three people have been arrested today in connection with the cell phone camera recording of Saddam Hussein's execution. An advisor to Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki describes one person as an official who supervised the execution. Meanwhile, a U.S. military spokesman said the U.S. would have handled the situation differently if it had been in charge of it. Saddam Hussein's co-defendants will be executed tomorrow. They were originally scheduled to hang with the former Iraqi dictator on Saturday. At the White House Rose Garden today, President Bush made a statement surrounded by his cabinet. He said he would balance the budget in 5 years. He also called on Congress to stop putting pet projects into spending bills. He is also asking for the line item veto as a way to control budgetary spending. Tomorrow, the 110th Congress will begin with a Democratic majority in both houses for the first time in 12 years. Nancy Pelosi will become the first female Speaker of the House in U.S. history. The Democrats are expected to launch a 100-hour legislative agenda, which includes raising the minimum wage, along with making college tuition and prescription drugs more affordable. In Grand Rapids, Michigan today, tens of thousands of mourners visited the Gerald R. Ford Presidential Museum to pay their respects to the late president. His casket arrived there yesterday after a funeral service in Washington. Ford will be buried on the grounds of the museum this afternoon in a private ceremony. The new Secretary General of the United Nations, Ban Ki-moon, who has been on the job for less than a week, has started a controversy over the death penalty. Previously, the United Nations has officially opposed capital punishment, but Moon said it is a decision that individual countries should make. Newsweek magazine reports Homeland Security officials may soon make it harder for visitors from so-called friendly countries such as Britain, Japan, and Australia to stay in the U.S. As a way to counter terrorism, these visitors may soon need to submit electronic visas when they purchase their airline tickets online. The Israeli chief of staff admitted today that serious military errors were made in the 34-day war against Hezbollah last summer. However, he refused to resign his post. He also suggested that military discipline had broken down somewhat and that was partly to blame for the mistakes made. Kenya has now sent troops to its border with Somalia to prevent Islamic militants from crossing into the country. And in the Plains States, the National Guard is dropping bales of hay to livestock stranded in the aftermath of this week's blizzard. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and the victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of rancor. You got married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. collaborativedivorce.tv.
China is celebrating a record number of panda births in 2006. 30 panda babies were bred and born in captivity last year. Toyota Motor is creating a system in its cars to detect drunken drivers and thus automatically shut off the vehicle. The sensors in the steering wheel will be able to detect high levels of alcohol in the driver's bloodstream through their sweat. New York City's Metropolitan Transportation Authority reports that the number one reason for train delays is because of fainting passengers. Most of those ill subway riders are dieters who have fainted because of dizziness. In Manhattan, the price of real estate continues to rise. The average apartment cost is now more than $1.1 million. That's a 5% increase from 1 year ago. The president and chief executive of Earthlink has died. Gary Betty was 49 years old and suffered from cancer. The internet service provider has more than 5 million customers. The chairman and CEO of Home Depot, Bob Nardelli, abruptly resigned his post today. He was in charge of the world's largest home improvement store chain for 6 years, but was recently under fire for receiving a large pay package. His severance deal is worth about $210 million. Light sweet crude is trading below the $59 a barrel mark, currently at $58.70. And taking a look at Wall Street this hour, the Dow in record territory, up 62 points at 15,525, NASDAQ up 24. There's always more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Ali Dramov.
Guy James Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Life! Life, you hear me? Give my creation life!
So this was fun.
You're going to like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Good countdown.
Six. Five, four, three, two, one.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast area.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
The world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Hey, welcome back to the Guy James Show here on the Head On Radio Network. So glad to have all of you along with us today on a kind of a quiet Wednesday. Ah, yes, just a little bit quiet today, but glad to have all of you along with us today. I appreciate you being close by your computers or wherever you happen to be. And by the way, speaking of that, I got to reach over here for a minute. There. A friend of mine, always looking out for me, gave me this little gizmo to bring home. And you probably all knew about these, and I didn't. I'm probably the last one to find out about it. But for $29... This is a wireless headphone system, and it's got an FM radio built into it. And anyway, you can put the plug it into the back of your computer, the little sending unit, and walk around your whole house and listen to your computer on the headphones. Pretty cool, and it's only $30. I don't know how they do it for that, but it's got a nice set of headphones with a AM/FM radio with an FM radio built into it, and you can use it in the back of DVDs, TVs, CDs, MP3 players, radios, tuners, home audio systems, computers, gaming consoles. Pretty cool. And for $30, I'll tell you what, it would. There may be other products like this on the market. I don't really know, but it's the first one I've seen, and it's a dandy little outfit for $30. I can tell you that. More information later, but I tried it out. I put it on here, and put the little gizmo in the back of one of the computers here in the studio. Walked outside, walked all around. Had clear as a bell from anywhere from like 150 feet, maybe even 200 feet away. Came in really well, so I'm impressed. So there's the latest techno guide from the day from the techno wizard guy James. Hey, I was listening to the news there. And I heard them talking about this Toyota now that they're coming out with that won't let you start your car if you've got alcohol in your blood. There's some sort of a sensory system in the steering wheel that can tell if you've got alcohol in your blood, and if you do, you can't start your car. I know a guy that if he buys one of those, he'll never get 5 miles on his car. he's one of those people that's stewed all the time, just sometimes more than others. It can actually tell, detect it in the sweat coming from your body how much alcohol you got in your system. Yeah, he won't put 5 miles on that car. That, man, that's going to be, people better look out by those. They may better be teetotalers like Guy James here. No. I haven't always been a teetotaler, and I used to be a person that, go up at Lake Erie at the islands in the summer and drink a bunch of wine and have a good old time and always have a few on New Year's Eve. I don't do that anymore. Doctor's advice, don't do that. Gosh, I haven't had a... No, I take that back. I had about a half a glass of wine over the Christmas holidays. Tasted good, too. Tasted really good. Lots of things to talk about. I one of the things I wanted to mention, I smell a rat here. Not here in the studio, actually. But I think the Republicans are very cleverly, and I'd like to know what you think about this, 866-546-5254. I think the Republicans are very cleverly laying a trap for the Democrats. And if I know the Democratic Party, and I do, they'll walk straight into the trap and never know what hit them. And what do I mean by this? If the Democrats go along with the Republicans on more funding for the Bush war, and except for a very few, I think they will. If they do that, come election time, when the Bush war is even worse than it is right now, the Republicans have taken the issue of the war off the table for the Democrats. That's what they will have done. They will have taken it. If the Democrats go along with it and more funding, they're not going to be able to say anything in the next election. You know, they'll be able to say, hey, the Democrats agreed with us, so they're just as responsible as we are. And they'll crank up that big old massive media machine of theirs and tell the public 24/7 that the Democrats promised to end the war, and they didn't. So why should you vote for Democrats? And if the Democrats do vote for the defunding of the Bush war in Iraq, and things are still bad over there, then they'll say we cut and ran, and the U.S. would have won the war had the Democrats not taken the money away. And none of this whole mess will have been the fault of the Republicans or Junior Bush. The entire blame is going to rest with the Democrats. The voters sent them there to, sent them to Congress to put a stop to the war, and they didn't do it. And the Republicans know full well that if the Democrats don't put a stop to the war, that they'll be abandoned by millions of disillusioned voters who sent them to Washington for the express purpose of pulling us out of that quagmire. Heads the Democrats lose and tails the Republicans win. You can claim the representative government crap all you want to, but when the polls show that the overwhelming numbers of Democratic voters want us out of Iraq, I don't care what my representative thinks personally. I sent him to vote my wishes, and he knows it. Personally, I don't give a rat's rear end what the representative's personal wishes are. He knows full well why he was elected, and we need to be reminding him or her of that every time they step out of line with what the grassroots Democrat voters want. And make no mistake, they do know what the grassroots Democrat voters want. All that's necessary in this whole thing is to have some good old-fashioned guts and shut off the spigot of money for the war, and mount a massive media campaign to let the public know the truth of the matter. The public can deal with the truth. What we can't deal with, and Democrats should certainly know this by now, what we can't deal with is a bunch of demagoguing politicians who promise us one thing and then do another. Get engaged in the fight to end the war. Fight back. And know this. If this war isn't stopped in the next 2 years, it will be the fault of the Democrats, period. Even if it isn't, it will be. The media will make damn sure that's how it is. So, boys and girls in the Democratic House and the Senate, let's get serious about this. Let's get serious about this. We shall see. We shall see what happens. 866-546-5254. And, we hear these things coming out of the White House now and out of the Capitol that are just unbelievable. Junior Bush has written an op-ed for the Wall Street Journal that's going to appear today. I haven't seen the Wall Street Journal today. But that's Bush 43, the younger squinty-eyed stupid one. Junior Bush wrote this op-ed for the Wall Street Journal today, and it says, "We can help Iraq defeat the extremists inside and outside of Iraq, and we can help provide the necessary breathing space for this young government to meet its responsibilities. If Democrats fails and the extremists, if democracy fails and extremists prevail in Iraq, America's enemies will be stronger, more lethal, and emboldened by our defeat. Leaders in both parties understand the stakes in this struggle. We now have the opportunity to build a bipartisan consensus to fight and win the war." Oh, now we want a bipartisanship. And make no mistake about it, Junior didn't write that. You know that. Either Kieran Hughes or Karl Rove wrote that. Come on. You know, it's comforting to give this young government breathing space, since the Saddam execution videos prove it's pretty much rife with members of the Mahdi army. Think of that. That's what we've accomplished so far. We've accomplished getting a guy hanged by a bunch of thugs in a wild and crazy manner. That's what we've accomplished. My word, haven't we brought civility to those folks over there? Have you all seen that hanging by now? Yeah, that was by a bunch of we shall see. And this from the White House as well. 5 years after the September 11th attacks, Osama bin Laden is still at large. But that's not a failure of White House policy, since says Frances Townsend. And I love this one. As she explained to CNN's White House correspondent Ed Henry last night, Henry said, "You know, going back to September 2001, the president said dead or alive we're going to get him. Still don't have him. I know you're saying there's successes on the war on terror, and there have been. That's a failure." And Townsend says, and this is something that only could come out of a Bush White House, "Well, I'm not sure. It's a success that hasn't occurred yet. I don't know that I view that as a failure. It's a success that hasn't occurred yet." Well, guy, you've been saying that you're going to make $1 billion, and you haven't done it. Well, that's a success that hasn't occurred yet, but it's gonna. How many years would they say this? Till we're all dead and gone? It's a success that hasn't occurred yet. I don't know why. That's a beauty. That is a beauty. And the Republicans, the poor, poor Republicans. Have you been keeping up with this? I should start. You know, I heard, I'm telling you, I'm having one of those days. Orrin Hatch. Why can I never keep Orrin Hatch's name in my head? He's playing the poor, poor Republican deal here now. Oh, it's poor Republicans. But the reason I bring up Orrin Hatch's name is I heard him giving a speech the other night, and he was talking about the Democrat Party, the Democrat Party, the Democrat Party. I should start calling them the Republics, right? The Republic Party. The Republic Party. I got to remember to do that. Republics aren't yet an official minority in the House, but they're already beginning a campaign to make themselves, look as victims of the heartless Democratic majority. In a Dear Colleague letter circulated to fellow Republicans, three House GOPers are trying to push a minority bill of rights based on a two-year-old proposal by then-Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi. This letter goes on to say, "Unfortunately, as you are well aware, the Democrats' 40-year reign over the House was plagued by consistent systematic efforts to usurp the rights and privileges of the Republican minority rights representative Patrick McHenry, Republican North Carolina, Eric Cantor, Republican Virginia, and Tom Price, Republican of Georgia. They don't mention their own party's strong-arm tactics, which has been going on for how long now, ever since the Newty boy was in there? Hell, they didn't let the Democrats in on anything. And now they're afraid of Democrats are going to be too partisan and going to shut them out of things? Hey, yes, I am that kind of guy. I'd shut them out of everything. Because anybody who thinks that trying to get along with these people will somehow make it better in the long run is badly mistaken. We can step up right now and with the republics be as nonpartisan as possible. You know, let's cooperate with them on everything. Look into the future. We're going to take away the animosity in Congress. Going to take away all that nastiness that goes on there day in and day out. Let's just do that. Let's be nice Democrats. And let's just cooperate with them on everything. Let's get together. We'll compromise. We'll get together and sing Kumbaya. And things will be nice in the House. And it'll be that way forever after. Because the Republicans will see that we're trying to get along with them. And then they'll want to get along with us after they take power again. Bull crap. Ain't going to happen. Ain't going to happen. And I certainly hope the Democrats don't fall for this. I sure hope they don't. Heard from one of our good friends that we've had as a guest on the program a few times, Scott Ritter. And I've been trying to get in contact with him for some time now, and finally have. Don't know where he hides out. Lives up east somewhere. But it's something I've been wanting to ask for a long time. Are they taking this? Are the Democrats taking this threat to invade, to bomb, whatever, Iran seriously? I'm wondering if they are taking it seriously. And well, he lets me know that it's coming. That. It's almost definitely coming that we are going to invade Iran. And I would like to think that's something that wouldn't happen. But, you know, there haven't been many times in America's history more important than where we're at right now. And when I hear these things from the people who are in the know, it troubles me. You know, our government might very well, and we better understand this to be true. Bush is crazy, and he'll do anything. And I mean that, he's crazy. He's crazy, he's an egotistic maniac. And our government might very well be ready to plunge this nation into the war of wars. And that's what it'll be. A war that'll be global in size, and absolutely catastrophic in its consequences. And no one on the planet's going to be spared the awful effects of this terrible global war that they're thinking about doing. This is going to be a war which will consume endless resources and humanity. And it won't end until one side completely annihilates the other. The great religious war. The Christians, egged on by the others. I think we all knew it would come to this someday, but I got to admit I didn't think it would be this soon. I really didn't. And I sure didn't think it would be the United States which lit the match to set off this huge powder keg. I always thought some crackpot leader in Israel, some crackpot nutcase like Netanyahu would start the conflict through another of their idiotic military strikes, but it's one of our very own that's going to do it. Our very own Junior Bush. along with a small band of psychotic pseudo-intellectuals in Washington, have decided to start the Crusades all over again. And I think that the crux of the matter is they believe that the United States is the rightful owner of the oil in the Middle East, and nothing is going to stop them from getting it. They do believe in exceptionalism, and that's something I'd like to talk about some of these days soon. I've got a lot of thoughts on exceptionalism. They believe that we're entitled to take what we want or need from any other country on earth because we're somehow better than everybody else. They do think that. They think the United States has been chosen by God to have dominion over the rest of the planet. We're better, we're stronger, we're smarter, we're more godly, and therefore this planet is ours to do with as we choose. We're the chosen people. People like Bill Bennett and Bill Kristol and Richard Pearl and Dick Cheney and Douglas Feith and their puppet, Junior Bush, they're pushing for more violence in the Middle East. And the neocon noise machine made up of Limbaugh and Hannity and O'Reilly and Prager and Bortz and Laura Ingraham and a host of others are calling for the bloods of hundreds of thousands of more Americans and Middle Easterners to be spilled for nothing more than to satisfy their lust for power. This group would be in favor of killing off every single one of the 1.6 billion Muslims on the planet. And the thinking is, at the very least, totally irrational. And at worst, it's a catastrophe of epic proportions, not only for our nation, but for the world as we know it. I know it's difficult for many Americans to accept the fact that our country's being run by a group of madmen, but it's time to face the facts. It's time for all Americans to face the cold, hard reality of this situation, and the group running our country at the present time, constantly referring to Ahmadinejad as some sort of a madman. It pains me to say this, but there's no world leader crazier than the one who resides at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue in Washington, D.C. right now. We've had presidents whom we believe to be not up to the job. We've had presidents who have made errors in judgment. We've had presidents lie to our faces for political gain or to cover up their personal peccadilloes. But this is the first time America's been faced with having a leader whose sanity is in question. And you only have to look at his press conference there a couple of weeks ago to understand what I mean. His demeanor, his logic, his way of thinking, his almost total refusal to accept reality. Clearly, this guy is delusional, and he's incapable of making any important decisions for this country. And I've heard it everywhere I've gone the past couple of weeks. America thinks the guy has lost it, and I agree. Something's got to be done. This new Congress needs as their first order of business to take any action possible to keep this man from widening the war. And it's going to have to be a bipartisan action. And it's now clear to me that this guy's actions aren't trusted by many Republicans, along with the Democrats. And if the United States Congress can't do something to put a stop to his actions, they'll be spitting in the face of the American public. Only 21% of the people favor widening this war. Would he dare go against 80% of the people? Would our Congress dare spitting in the face of 80% of the people and saying, we'll go along with this fool? If they do that, they will have shirked their duty to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. I'm hearing from Democrat leaders that, well, he's only got two more years to go, and we don't want to look like we're being vindictive. Bullshit. The overwhelming majority of Americans don't see it that way. I think they'd be relieved to know that Congress recognizes that Bush is a danger to the United States and are willing to take action to stop him. I firmly believe that if the Democrats don't follow the path laid out for them by the voters, that they will in fact lose a good portion of the support gained in the last election. And it's our job to monitor their every move and make them know that we're watching and we won't put up with another bunch of cowardly Democrats in Washington. And if they don't act responsibly on the issues of the war, they cannot be trusted to act in our behalf on other important issues facing this country as well. We're coming to a point here very doggone soon where the rubber meets the road for these new this new Democratic Congress. And, buddy, they better produce. They had better produce. Let's go to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, Guy. Phil up in Daytona Beach.
Hi, Phil.
I'm with you on this this Iran thing, and I hope you are able to get Scott Ritter on the program. Have you ever had Karen Kwiatkowski on?
Yes.
Oh, boy, she's another one who's on top of this whole PNAC plan.
She sure is.
Bush is insane, and, you know, the PNAC crew has been managing this guy, whispering in his ear since day one. And there's still three naval strike forces, or battle groups, over in the Persian Gulf, and you're not hearing about that anymore. But they're sitting over there. Israel, there's been talk of Israel this past week of striking Iran in the news, mainstream news.
And it certainly doesn't, you know, that battle group, the battle groups being over there has got nothing to do with the Iraq war.
And neither does this 30,000 surge either. I mean,
You think they'll dare do it? I mean, we're hearing the talk now that it's a done deal, that he is going to do it. I
think because this the American people will continue to not get active and lay down and just keep accepting this insanity. I believe the American people will accept the United States initiating a nuclear war.
Oh, man, I hope you're wrong.
I hope I'm wrong, too, but one of the things I always harp on, and when I do get a chance to speak on your show, is the fact that, or the idea that we have to be the media, you know, and invest $3 in a ream of paper and print up some flyers and educate your community. Talk aloud in the grocery store so people can overhear you. The media will not touch the PNAC. They haven't touched it for 6 years. It's off limits, you know. But that plan is still right on time. You know, this whole Iraq quagmire is a deliberate quagmire, in my opinion. It fits right into the PNAC plan, and so does genocide, Guy. They called for genocide in that September 2000 paper with advocating biological warfare. You know?
Well, that group has no intentions of backing down ever.
No, and they're still in power. They're the AIPAC PNAC connection between Israel and this crew in the White House is. They're all in power,
and they don't see. Other than the fact that they think Bush hasn't prosecuted this war right, they would do it all over again. Every single one of them would do it again. When it's a proven disaster that we should never have gone in there. They would all do it again.
Yes, because it was their plan in the first place, and Iran is in the plan as well.
It sure is.
Permanent bases are in the buildup of the military. You know, you got this. Vote coming up for another $100 billion, and as you were talking about these Democrats, people, we got to get on the damn. We got to hound these people, and we really do have to educate our. We have to do more. We have to educate our fellows and say this is serious. There's a lot of people who don't know those naval strike forces are over there right now. There's still a lot of people who never heard of PNAC, and. Scott Ritter's a great, he would be a great guest, and I'll make a suggestion. It's, of course, I hope you don't take offense of suggesting ideas for a show, but maybe have a part of a show one day and just folks calling in and offering ideas how we can educate our fellows, what we can do more as individuals to try to head this thing off if we could.
Well, there are lots of things we can do, as you well know.
Yes.
Number one is to make the public more aware. And we don't have the media machine that they have, and I certainly would like to see us have that media machine. We're being out slugged 100-1 in the media, and
yes.
Particularly radio and TV. And I don't know what it's going to take to get on an even par with them. I really don't. The liberals in general, liberal politicians, Democratic politicians, people, the powers that be in the party, and people who generally listen to liberal radio and all, it's just not supported. It's just not supported.
No.
And that's...
And your first guest, I'm glad he gave out his website, the... what is that website?
Nonstopradio.com. Yeah.
On how to keep a progressive radio afloat. But I hear what you're talking, Guy, but I'm really concerned about these guys, false flag attack occurring, they'll say one of the ships has been attacked, or God forbid, another 9/11 here to whatever degree, because Cheney has already given the order if we are hit, if the American people are hit with another 9/11 attack, they immediately launch on Iran. I heard that on the Alex Jones program the other day, and he's on top of all this false flag stuff, and it's all in place. And Iran is—they're going to do this. The Democrats won in the election, and that doesn't mean squat unless we really get on them. And I really think there's no time to develop progressive radio right now. We've got to get out there and shake our fellows.
Well, I disagree with you. I think there is time. Yes, of course.
Okay.
We've in the last 30 years, the Republicans have totally started from the ground up, laid a foundation, block by block and million by million, built their media machine.
I want to rephrase what I said. I mean in regards to this. The strike on Iran.
I know, but when are we going to start? I guess that's my point is, when are we going to start? Okay, Yahoo, we got Air America. I won't say what I'm thinking. Yes, I will. They've made practically no inroads into the audiences of the right-wing Republicans. They've made no progress practically whatsoever. None that I can see. We don't have a serious effort anywhere to dominate the media or even have fairness in the media. And one of the reasons is Democrats and liberals just don't support it. And I can tell you that for a fact. Everybody I know that's trying to do a program out here and all is having financial problems. Everybody.
Sure.
And I shouldn't say that. I don't want to sound like doom and gloom, but that's the way it is. And that's why most Democratic shows and liberal programs go belly up, because nobody supports them. And
yes.
And I can tell you that firsthand. That's how it is. We've got a few people that donate to this program, and I greatly appreciate it. I greatly appreciate it. But I'm telling you, compared to the numbers that listen, as the numbers that donate anything to the show, it's embarrassing.
Well, I've been out of work. I'm asking people to donate to me. But if I had it, Guy, I'd be throwing.
Yeah, well, see, that's what we're looking at. We've got to try and get the grassroots to pay for our things that we want. And over there, they've got the fat cats doing it by the hundreds of millions of dollars. And frankly, I know a lot of people don't like to hear me say that, but
well, it's the truth.
It is the truth.
And the fellow you spoke with, your first guest, where he mentioned the Phoenix situation where Air America got bought out even when they weren't for sale, and there were some reports that some of that money came through the right-wing Christian faith-based initiative, our tax dollars, for crying out loud,
Well.
we're really up against it, which is even more of a reason to fight.
But the thing is, they're willing to do it.
Yes.
And we are not.
Well, we got to... We'll continue to shake our fellows, and that's
I can tell you what I've been doing this show for a little over 4 years now.
Yeah.
And the progress that I see as far as funding for any liberal democratic program, we've made no progress whatsoever in the last 4 years. None.
Well, I say stop, especially after this last election. You got $50. I wouldn't send it to the DNC. You know, they didn't give one candidate a dime here in Florida, as you know. And I'd send it to the Guy James Show or the Horn or you know, act locally.
Well, that's what happens. You'll get you know, here locally, for example, we'll meet with the and some of the local people have been pretty good to us, but not a drop in the bucket to what it takes to put on the show. Not a drop in the bucket, and I'm letting the cat out of the bag here, but most of it comes right out of my pocket and has for 4 years.
Sure.
And you get to a point, and we are very nearly at that point, where it's no longer possible to carry the load, and you get tired of carrying it almost by yourself. We've got a few good listeners, like I said, to support the show, but Democrats in general are do more talking than they do supporting, and people are going to hate me for saying that, but it's the truth.
Well, you know what, Guy? I don't, because it takes courage to ask for money. You know, this effort is so important. Shows like yours, the Head On Radio Network. I mean, we lose this, man. We're effed, you know.
Yeah, but it's, you know, that's...
So it does take, you know, I'm with the Veterans for Peace up here in Central Florida, and like you, everything comes out of my pocket, you know, the blank DVDs. I burn the 9/11 Truth DVDs, hand them out, and, you know, I had some money, now it's all gone, and what we're starting to do now is... ask for money at the events. I bring my girlfriend, you know, she's pretty redhead, but she wears the tight cold pink shirt, and I get as far away from her as possible, and you know, we get a few bucks in the can. When you ask, people are...
Well, as long as I'm pissing everybody off on the Democratic side, I'll just tell you how it is. You go to a Democratic meeting of 100 people and tell them you need some money to do a show or do an event or whatever, and you go before 100 Republicans, you're going to get 10 times as much from the Republicans. That's just how it is.
Because they have it, you know, and we don't.
Well, they have it, and I also want to say they're easier to part with it. I was in Washington, I don't know, 3 years ago, maybe close to 4 years. Yeah, it was close to 4 years ago, and we were just starting up the show, and we met with some Democratic big shots. One of them's the husband of a senator who has a pretty nice job himself.
That when they brought all the show hosts in, like yourself?
Mm-hmm.
They were looking to start something like in the
old... Oh, yeah. And, you know, I had a man shake my hand and tell me, the exact words he told me was, Guy, don't worry about funding for your show. We'll make sure it's not that much in the broad scheme of things. We'll make sure that you get some help. You know how much you got from him?
Mm-mm.
Nothing, ever.
Yeah.
Not another word from him, ever. And that's how it goes with the Democrats. Sad but true.
Yeah.
Hey, got to go. Thanks so much for calling.
You bet, guys.
Appreciate it.
And thank you for the topic today.
You're welcome. Bye now.
Bye now.
Do I sound bitter? I mentioned this yesterday, that we're trying to do a little fun drive for the program. And that it's highly necessary, and I'm not kidding. It's very, very necessary. And I do want to thank the folks who did take me seriously. I should say the folk. One. I don't feel good about that. Hey, we're going to be going to go to a break right now. We'll be right back in a minute or two.
I'm Hispanic American.
I'm of European heritage.
My forefathers overcame the trials of slavery.
One of my ancestors was a member of the Continental Congress.
I served in our nation's armed forces.
Two of my uncles fought for our country in the Korean War.
And I am an American Muslim.
And I am an American Muslim.
I am an American Muslim.
A message from the Council on American-Islamic Relations. For more information, visit cair-net.org.
David Bowie, and this is not America. I agree, David. It's not the America I used to know. Not even close to the America I used to know. And it's damn sure not close to the America I'd like it to be. But that's how it is right now, and it's our job to make it better. And I know we'll get it done somehow. Because we care. Let's go to the phones. Hi, this is Eric. Eric, welcome to the Guy James Show.
Well, thanks for having me.
You're welcome.
I think David's got a great idea, but let's try to make it a better America, like pollution free, so we don't have people in Los Angeles kids. You know, like one out of three or four have lesions on their lungs because of the smog and the air pollution and things like this. I'm not sure whether you're aware, the General Motors Company back in the early 90s produced an EV1. It was a total electric car, a plug-in to the electrical grid, right?
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't one of these hybrids that regenerate the energy back from the internal combustion engine as are being produced in small amounts right now. And basically what they had, in case some of your listeners may not have known, was a car that was totally electric. People loved them. I believe they released approximately 1,000 thereabouts, somewhere on the West Coast mostly. They loved these cars. They had to rent them. The General Motors Company would not let them buy them out after the rental period was over. They took the cars back, General Motors, and had them all shredded, i.e., you can't keep making money if you don't have a lot of movable parts, like rings around your whatever in your engine, exhaust systems, whatever. And corporate America is very much like that, because they keep producing things like your little earphones and like my little flash cards or whatever, just so we can keep going on to the next technology and turn it over and turn it over and turn it over. The basic concept of that electric car could, in conjunction with a lot of other energy uses that we have in this country, supply the American people with an oil-free, eventually, country. And I'm sure that, you know, some of your listeners do know that. Unfortunately, we have too much corporate control over the information that is given to the American people to let them understand these are not golf carts. They have another electric car right now. It goes for about $100,000. Total electric. And it goes 0 to 60 miles in 3.9 seconds. Blows Ferraris right off the road, you know? And we could take this whole thing if we could have the solar batteries upgraded. They haven't been upgraded in about well over 20 years. They're still selling them out there. We could force the power companies to take that electric energy, that power source from the sun, wind, whatever, take it in. We don't have a national plan for energy any more than the man in the moon. Kennedy started a plan to get us there from the 1960s. This buffoon that we have here keeps talking about an energy-free system. Well, that's a bunch of nonsense. You have talked about that before today and many other days, and I am just so disgusted that we can't get something that's going to be a safe world. And an unsafe world is going after 3,000 zillion million barrels of oil all over the country so the corporate fat cats can make all the money, and all the other corporate people that we have in so many industries in this country that use the American people just to turn stuff over and over and over so they can get a little more bucks in their retirement home here or their vacation home there.
You're absolutely right. And I think by the time that oil resources are running out, the rich will have insulated themselves from whatever problems might arise from that. And the masses will begin looking for alternatives at that time, and then they'll try and find out something. But, you know, now's the time, but I don't see any meaningful. I mean, yes, there's a guy here, there's a guy there, there's entrepreneurs out there trying to do something, but there's no meaningful effort by, Bush has talked about this, like I mentioned earlier in the show, every year in his State of the Union speech. What has he done about it? Nothing. It's discouraging.
Well, it's not only discouraging, it's absolutely pea-poor leadership. If he's going to tell the people that this is what we need, if he doesn't have a plan to make us energy independent, then he's not a very good leader. If all he knows how to do is go out and start wars because we want the oil for his corporate of oil buddies, then that's not a very good leader. That sounds like somebody that got really bought out by corporate America. And they're lying to some of your right-wing listeners that may be listening in to right now. And they need to stop drinking the Kool-Aid, take their heads out of the Saudi Arabian sand, and figure out what's really going to go on for their kids and their futures.
Absolutely true. Absolutely true. And, you know, it's amazing. That is something that is spread across the different ideologies. You take the right-wingers, and they're almost always bragging about their big behemoth automobiles, their Hummers and stuff, and I can't understand that mindset. What is it? Here's mud in your eye. Is that what they're doing?
I think it's kind of Freudian. You know, I think little Viennese psychology. I don't want to get into being too explicit. It had to do with envy, I think, in Freudian terms.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's just like an extension of something that's not really there in their mindset at all.
But it does matter.
Yes, it does. Thank you, Guy, for letting me be on the show. You're doing a great job. And I'd like to keep promoting to all your listeners and people in the chat room, please donate to the Guy James Show. Guy has really worked very hard and really could use a lot of your financial support to help him keep staying online and sharing his truth with us.
Hey, thanks so much, Eric. Good to hear from you.
Good to hear from you. Thank you.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
What he said. I want to get to one last thing today in the show before we run out of time. This Virgil Good, or Good, I guess his name really is. I've heard the Virginians pronounce it Good, Virgil Good. Republican of Virginia blasted Representative Keith Ellison, the first Muslim elected to Congress, for using the Koran in a private, unofficial swearing-in ceremony. You know, all know about that by now. And you know that how Dennis Prager got himself involved in it and said how terrible it was. And anyway, Good wrote, "I fear that in the next century we will have many more Muslims in the United States if we do not adopt the strict immigration policies that I believe are necessary to preserve the values and belief traditions to the United States of America." Good's comments have been widely criticized as bigoted, but he's not backing down. In an op-ed this morning in the USA Today, Good writes that Ellison's election is an indication that we are at risk of infiltration by Islamic extremists who want another 9/11. Now, this guy is out of his frickin' mind. He has, by his very words, shown that he is an idiot. And so are the people that voted for him. His letter today said, and I quote, "If American citizens don't wake up and adopt the Virgil Good position on immigration, there will likely be many more Muslims elected to office and demanding the use of the Quran. Let us remember that we were not attacked by a nation on 9/11. We were attacked by extremists who acted in the name of the Islamic religion. I believe that if we do not stop illegal immigration totally, reduce legal immigration, and end diversity visas, we are leaving ourselves vulnerable to infiltration by those who want to mold the United States into the image of their religion rather than working with the Judeo-Christian principles that have made us a beacon of freedom-loving persons around the world." Mr. Good, you fool. The gentleman that you're attacking here, Keith Ellison, Democrat from Minnesota, was born in this country, you idiot. He was born here. He didn't immigrate here. He was born here, you fool. I love this guy. You know, he's exposing the Republican Party for what it really is. Their heart and soul consists of crazies like this Virgil Good who are racist and are hoping for some sort of theocratic control of our government. The fundies. Keep exposing the GOP for what it is, Virgil. A racist organization dedicated to theocratic dominion of the U.S. How about the people who elected this guy? Are they the ones wearing bib overalls with one of the straps broken? You got that image in your mind? Barefoot, toothless, with a big wad of tobacco in their cheek? Quit school after doing the third grade three times and married their sisters? Attaboy, Virgil. That's who you're appealing to. That's exactly who you're appealing to. You sound like one of them yourself. Man, you would think someone would go to him and say, enough. You'd think one of his Republic Party cohorts would go to him and say, Virgil, don't say anything else. You're making us look like crazy people, like uneducated fools. Well, I don't know. You have to wonder, don't you? Hey, I do want to remind everybody we are having a little fundraiser. If you can help on it, I would sure appreciate it. We are backs to the wall, and I do mean that. And not much of a future ahead if we don't get something going here pretty soon. I do appreciate you listening to the program every single day. A lot of you here every single day, and I appreciate that more than you know, and I love your feedback and your emails and the folks in the chat room and the folks over at Democratic Underground. Hear from a lot of them every day. I just want to thank you for being here. every day, and I do very much appreciate it. Well, I think we're coming up on the end of the program here today. Once again, I want to thank you for listening. You are listening to The Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network. And never forget, you've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. See you tomorrow, gang.